Welcome back to the morning show on TSN 690. Simon Salikas in for Connor McKenna with Sean Starr and Sean Coleman sitting in for Rick Moffitt with you till 10 o'clock. Tony Marinaro on the Montreal Forum between 10 and 12. Habs lunch, 12 and 1. Knuckles between 1 and 3. And then Melnick in the afternoon between 3 and 7. Quite the lineup here at TSN 690, but it doesn't get any better than our next guest from TSN, Bob McKenzie. Bob, good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent, boys. How are you doing today?
Good. How was the trip back from Vegas?
Yeah, it was good. I thought, you know, I'm a little surprised it ended in five, but nevertheless, here we are. It gave me a chance to interview scouts on Saturday and Sunday and start preparing our TSN draft rankings that will come out next weekend.
Well, before we get into the draft rankings, you've covered the game, Bob, for a while, and you've seen many Stanley Cup finals. Have you ever seen anybody celebrate the victory of a Stanley Cup like Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals?
No, you know what? Funny, because the night the Cup was won, we kind of, Ray Ferraro and myself, kind of noted that this celebration seemed different. That, you know, every player wants to win the Stanley Cup, and every player is excited and thankful when they finally do get a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Maybe it's because it was the Washington Capitals and they've never won it before. Maybe it was because it was Alexander Ovechkin, who's played in the NHL for so long without getting a cup. But you could sense that it was different for these guys. Very emotional when they won the cup on Thursday night, and obviously they've kind of followed that up with a very public celebration that looked more like a block party or a rave than a Stanley Cup party. And it's been one after another, and the videos and the social media stuff has been pretty funny, and I think the fans in Washington really appreciate it because it's been so open and it's been so much with the public. I mean, it doesn't get any more public than Alexander Ovechkin, obviously well-lubricated, jumping in a fountain and swimming in a few inches of water with the cup and what have you. So it's been fun, and I think Ovechkin and Holtby, from what I understand, they'll need to straighten up and fly right tonight, you would think, for an appearance on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, very nice. Very nice indeed. Bob, just want to get us just a little bit from the Capitals' perspective. You mentioned the fan base. I just wanted to ask you, as Ted Leonsis goes, and I'm just following a lot of the media from the Capitals. I do that. I followed a lot of guys from Vegas and a lot of guys from Washington during the Stanley Cup run. And I just want to get your perspective. Ted Leonsis as an owner, is he very popular with other owners? And is he popular with his club? Has he always been popular? Because a lot of outpouring of, thumbs up and good job from a lot of the members of the Washington media. And I know that they're covering the Capitals on a daily basis, but it seems like they've gone out of their way to compliment the ownership group.
Yeah, I think he's popular with his group, and I think, like a lot of NHL owners, he's well respected. I think he sits on the NHL executive committee, so he's one of the more senior owners now over the years. And I think early on, he was like a lot of NHL owners that you're going to come in and make the big splash, and the Jaromir Jagr deal that they made many years ago that didn't pay off and what have you. But I think people were happy for him, and he seems to be happy for the fan base in Washington.
Before we get into, as the summer goes along with some of the big names in free agency, just Barry Trotz, he's a Stanley Cup champion now. Do you think that he explores other venues, or do you think that there's a chance he comes back to Washington?
Well, the door is open if he wants to, but he certainly sounded, and so did Brian McClellan, the general manager of the Caps, right after the Cup was won on Thursday night, the possibility of him coming back in Washington seemed to be very strong. Brian McClellan basically said, hey, if Barry wants to be back here, he'll be back here. And Barry Trotz, when asked if he wanted to come back, said absolutely, although he did allow for the possibility that he's got to think about things, that he wants to take a little bit of time to decompress. And I noticed he was quoted again on the weekend where he said that decompression and thought process has to be done with a clear head. And as we saw from Ovechkin and all the other Caps, and I think you can put head coach Barry Trotz in that partying group on the weekend, this hasn't been a clear-headed weekend for him. So I think this week, obviously, he'll probably think about his future and what he wants to do. There's obviously a business element to all of this, but I think if you start with the basic premise that the two sides want to be together, that goes a long way towards solving any problems. Although, as I said, there's a negotiation to take place, and Trotz, by NHL standards, has been pretty underpaid the last number of years at $1.5 million. So they'll sort that out, I would think, this week, and we'll see whether he goes to free agency or not. But there's a job available, the Islanders, and I'm sure the Islanders will have interest in him. But Trotz will have to decide if he wants to stay, and he did say on Thursday night that that's certainly the direction he's leaning.
So, Bob, the Canadians are going to be looking to improve their blue line this offseason, and one name that was really kicking around this weekend was that of Jack Johnson of the Blue Jackets. I'd just like to get your sense of his game and maybe what he could command on the open market.
Well, it's interesting because he's, he was playing top 4 minutes in Columbus, and then at times he kind of became more of a third pair guy, although his minutes weren't far off the top four, and he I don't think he was overly thrilled with his role, and he asked for a trade. So I'm not sure what the market will command for a Jack Johnson, but you got to think that any defenseman like that that goes to free agency is going to expect to get, you know, $6 million, in the neighborhood of $6 million, give or take $1 million. And whether Montreal makes sense for him and vice versa certainly remains to be seen, but there's no question, you know, the Canadians are looking to bolster their blue line.
Looking at some of the free agents, and just reading this yesterday, Ilya Kovalchuk has visited the LA Kings, and he's going to meet with the San Jose Sharks. Bob, would you know if this is a 31 tour stop? Like, is everybody going to get a sit down and a listen, or is it that Kovalchuk and his team have narrowed it down perhaps to a dozen or half dozen squads?
Yeah, it's probably, my guess is it might even be less than that, to be honest. I think but he is obviously trying to keep somewhat of an open mind, and he's got a new agent in JP Barry with CAA after leaving Jay Grossman for most of his career. And so obviously they're getting a look at some of these other teams. There's a connection with some of them. I mean, the San Jose Sharks are coached by Pete DeBoer. Pete was coaching the New Jersey Devils when they went to the Cup Final with Kovalchuk as their star forward. So Kovalchuk would be predisposed to like to play for Pete DeBoer, so that would be one reason there. The Kings are interested in Kovalchuk just as they're interested in all scoring wingers. Jeff Skinner from the Carolina Hurricanes, Max Pacioretty from the Montreal Canadiens. If there's a scoring winger out there right now, the LA Kings have interest in that, whether it's in a trade or potentially free agency. So they would want to get in on that. Kovalchuk has in the past kind of indicated that he likes the greater New York area where he played for the Devils, although he wouldn't go back to New Jersey. The Islanders, with Lou Lamoriello as his former general manager, are most certainly going to have interest in Kovalchuk, and we know that the Rangers have significant interest in him as well. So I don't want to say that it's just four teams, because I'm sure that there are more than that, but those two New York area teams and the two California teams would certainly, I think, be prominent in any discussions for Kovalchuk.
I know when Alex Radulov came back to the National Hockey League, word has it that there was a 2-year deal on the table with the Detroit Red Wings, but he took the 1-year deal given to him by Mark Bergevin, the Canadiens. How different is it with Kovalchuk? Is it going to be looking for a 1-year deal, a 2-year deal, or is he looking for something with a little bit more tenure?
He's gonna probably try to get a 3-year deal, but my guess is he ends up with a 2-year deal. But I mean, in free agency, if you get teams bidding, I suppose anything's possible. He is an over 35 player, and that's problematic for some teams to give an over 35 player multi-year contracts, because they don't ever go away. You're stuck with that cap hit no matter what. Even if he decided after 1 year, if he decided on a 3-year deal. If after 1 year he decided, I don't want to play hockey anymore, I'm going to retire, then that cap hit would still exist for the second and third year of the contract. There's no way to lose it. So, my guess is he wants a 3-year deal. Most of the teams would want to give him a 1-year deal. They probably saw off in the middle at a 2-year deal. But it all depends, too, on the team that he's signing with and what their specific cap situation is, and whether or not they're a contending team, and whether that's important to them or not. So lots of considerations there.
So, Bob, I'm following you on your Twitter account here, and it says that you're going to be interviewing NHL scouts and get us ready for the upcoming NHL draft. How many scouts will you speak to?
I talk to 10 every year. I do it with the preseason. I do it midseason, do it again at the draft lottery, and then do it again now to compile the final rankings. And I've actually been doing the same sort of process since we started doing draft rankings at the Hockey News back in the mid to late 1980s. And so I completed the interviews with the scouts on the weekend, and I'll take this week to put together the TSN draft rankings for to be released next Sunday.
How many are these scouts? You said 10. Are any based in Europe, or you're using them and you just take in what the info that they would get from European scouts?
No, yeah, these guys are pretty much cheap scouts for National Hockey League teams, by and large. Not all of them, but I think most of them. And so it's they're well familiar with the both the North American and the European situation and what the various lists are.
Bob, I just want to go back to the Capitals in the water fountain. Let's just say the TSN squad, your TSN squad, would win maybe the softball championships of the Greater Toronto Area. Which one of your colleagues would be doing the water fountain thing?
Which one might be me?
You could say yourself.
I think in my younger days it maybe would have been me, but I've greatly matured over the years. So. I don't know. Jeff O'Neill might be
Jeff O'Neill, yeah,
that's for one. That.
Might get his chicken nuggets wet, though, Bob.
Actually, you know what? The stealth guy that could get a little silly like that could be James Duffy. You never know.
Okay. Do you think that Ray Ferraro would be standing there and frowning upon it?
You never know.
You never know. That's a tough one. Okay.
It's quite possible.
Bob, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir. Bob McKenzie from TSN. Water fountain here at TSN 690. We win. Pick a sport. Softball.
Sure.
Softball, Sean Starr, you playing third base, I think is a go, right? Mm-hmm. That you're our guy. Put Mo Khan at first base. I like a big target at first base because my throws from second can end up anywhere. Coleman? You, what do you do?
I got the bench warm, boys.
All right, you got the bench warm.
Not a softball player?
No. How can you not be a softball player? Just stand there and if the ball comes
you can't
to
hit a ball?
I can't
moves?
Hit a ball.
That
moves? I ask guys to throw it down in the dirt because I can golf swing that thing up and away.
Right,
but
yeah. What do you mean you can't? Like, I throw you a ball, you can't hit it with a bat?
I grew up playing zero baseball.
Okay, right. A lot of people do.
Well, yeah, like I could play softball. Like charity softball.
My 7-year old, if I put a bat in her hand and a ball, she's going to. I know what to do here.
Yes.
He's a golfer. The ball's stationary.
Okay.
Ça bouge pas, la balle.
I never thought of it that way. If we win the pick a league anywhere in the city, okay. Think in the West Island. Like to play their softball out there in the West Island. We'll go out there and spank those guys and gals. And if we win a championship, who's in the fountain first?
I would say Marinero's in
the fountain. That's the easiest question we've ever asked here in TSN 690.
He's there before the ninth.
First guy in the fountain.
Yeah, he's de-blousing.
Shirts and blouses.
He's got his little floaties on his arms.
Safety first. Always safety first. So Tony's in first. That makes sense.
Slashing around.
Total sense to me. Simon Slicker, Sean Starr, Sean Coleman. This is the morning show on TSN 690. You got to hear it. Seriously, you got to hear it.